Insperity presents the Small Business Advocate Show with Jim Blasingame. This is a copyrighted production of Small Business Network, Inc., all rights reserved.
We're back. It's 12 after. 800-531-3815, toll-free coast-to-coast. And my website is www.jbsba.com. Our old friend Ron Browning is with us, folks. Ron is Assistant Adjutant General for Marketing at the Veterans of Foreign Wars. Heck, he may have a promotion by now because I think that may be old information. But anyway, he's our good friend. He's been with us now for a long time, way back to the beginning of this show. He's an original member of our Brain Trust, and he joins us on momentous days like this one, like Veterans Day. He's our good friend, Ron Browning. Welcome back.
Hey, Jim. Great to be with you and your audience this morning.
It's good to have you back, as always. Thank you for spending some time with us on Veterans Day. Ron, this is a very important day. It doesn't always rise to the level of importance maybe in some people's mind, like, say, the 4th of July does, or some of the other national holidays. But it certainly is a national holiday. President Eisenhower signed it into law in 1954. But tell us about the importance of November 11th.
Well, as we were sharing, the original day was selected to honor the conclusion of hostilities in World War I.
Right.
And the armistice was signed on the 11th day, the 11th month, the 11th hour.
Yeah.
And at that time...
And that was 1918.
Yes.
Yeah, 11 o'clock on the 11th of November, 1918.
Yeah, and at that time it was the most egregious conflict the world had ever engaged in. That day really etched itself in the minds of a lot of people.
And of course, as we know, they called it the war to end all wars, and that was the hope. But
yes.
They didn't realize that there were still some malcontents out there that wanted to try to control a lot of people and harm a lot of people, and of course that didn't come to pass. And ultimately, instead of being called Armistice Day, which is what it was called originally, it was changed to Veterans Day, wasn't it?
Correct. Correct. And that was the beginning of a traditional holiday in this country. It actually even has its roots going back to the Civil War veterans, but it carried different names.
Well, it was called. That's where Memorial Day, which we celebrate in May, certainly goes back to then when some of the women, some of the Southern women, would go out and decorate some of the graves of the fallen men. Talk to us a minute about what is required to become a veteran. What does it mean to be a veteran? What's the definition of a veteran?
Well, on its face, it's anyone who's honorably served this nation in uniform.
Uh-huh. Including reservists and National Guard?
Oh, of course.
Uh-huh. There was a time, Ron, when I'm not sure that everybody considered that. There was a time when I'm not sure the technical definition of a veteran included reservists and National Guard.
Well, I think in the public's mind that may be true, but, at some level... irrespective of your exposure to hostility or the depth of your service, at some level, once you put the uniform on...
And make yourself available.
You've assumed a risk that many others have not, and put yourself in harm's way on behalf, potentially, if not actually, in behalf of your country.
There was a reserve or a National Guard. I can't remember. I think it may have been a National Guard unit. Seems like it was in Indiana. I've forgotten. One of the Midwest states.
During the Vietnam War.
During the Vietnam War. Do you know that story?
I recall parts of it. Yeah, off the top of my head. But
they were called. They joined the reserve. Joined that unit. I think it was National Guard, if I'm not mistaken, Ron. And they joined the National Guard. They maybe I don't know what they thought when they joined the National Guard. A lot of people joined the National Guard to not be drafted. But regardless, that unit went to Vietnam, and if I'm not mistaken, only a handful of them returned.
The casualty rates were incredibly high, and the decoration rates were incredibly high.
Mm-hmm. So you know that's what I meant when I said make yourself available.
Well, and look at today. Look at the number of Guard and Reserves that are being called up. And if you read the casualty lists that sadly come out of the Pentagon every day, a good number of those young men and women are reservists or National Guard.
We can never minimize the importance of those who serve, those who are willing to serve, those who are making themselves available. If you know somebody in the reserves or the National Guard, you should not, certainly, and especially in the 21st century, Ron, we should never minimize their importance because they're there just in case, aren't they?
Just in case, and as things evolve lately, it's more than just in case.
Just in time, huh?
Yeah, just in time. Great answer.
Yeah.
But that's a good point, and I think we're seeing it every day. I mean, we're calling up 100,000 or more, actually more, new reservists and guardsmen to fill in the needed slots overseas now.
That's gonna hit home for me in the next couple of months pretty closely, Ron. But the thing is that one of the things that I've been wondering about, Ron, is what is our nation and our government going to do about our increased dependence upon citizen soldiers, upon the reservists and their National Guard contingent, because we're asking them to do, you know, these people aren't full-time professional military. They have jobs and other things. They're in school. And they're being asked to put their world on hold. And what I want to know, Ron, is is America prepared to step up to the special requirements that these people have for putting their life on hold?
Well, I don't know whether we're prepared yet, but I think we're going to have to first become aware of what some of these people are enduring to serve their country. And I think once we become aware of it as a nation, as our government becomes more and more committed to using these people, I think that their needs are defining themselves literally daily.
Right.
And we're going to have to decide that we need to step in at some level and find ways to actively support these people.
That's exactly right. Ron, hold on to that thought. We're going to take a quick break. When we come back, we're going to talk about this a little bit more with our good friend Ron Browning, with the Veterans of Foreign Wars, and we're going to find out about some programs that he and his organization are working with to help veterans. And we'll get him to tell us about that right after these messages. 20 after, stay with us. God bless America. God bless our veterans. We're back at 23 after. We're visiting with Ron Browning. He's with the Veterans of Foreign Wars. Ron, what is your new title? What is your title currently?
Well, actually, it's the Assistant Adjutant General for Development. So we've simply changed the words.
It has changed a little bit. There you go.
Yeah, and so is the responsibility.
Tell us how we can find you online, please.
Well, you can find me two ways. You can find me at vfw.org, or you can find me at operationuplink.org.
Okay, tell us what Operation Uplink is.
Operation Uplink is, and I appreciate you asking the question, because Operation Uplink is a program that we founded 6 years ago now. And its original purpose was simply to provide prepaid phone cards to those serving our military and to veterans in hospitals. And I think the first year we did it maybe 20, 30,000 cards.
Yep.
As the nation mobilized last year, we were just inundated with requests from both active duty and reservists, family members who really wanted to keep in touch with their loved ones overseas. Because, as you know, it's very difficult to make a phone call overseas.
Right.
Number two is it's just incredibly expensive unless you have access to a lower rate or a special phone, which in some cases we're the only ones who could get phone cards into certain locations.
Well, and you were nice enough. In those days, my son was on active duty in the Marines on the other side of the globe, and you were nice enough to send him one or two of those.
Well, and you know,
that was like in the very beginning.
Yeah, and that's our pleasure. And you know, as the country mobilized, the program, the demand was so great, I found us basically running about $500,000 in a hole.
Yeah.
And, you know, what a testament to the American people and to corporate America. We had some great corporate partners step up and some tremendous individuals. And, you know, we not only met that demand, but we were able to keep it going to where it's just now today we're looking at, well, what are we going to do as demand ever increases? But, you know, that's a testament to how people care about these young men and women who are serving.
Right.
I mean, it's just tremendous, tremendous outcome. And we're doing, you know, so, and those cars, by the way, I mean, I think your listeners, you know, we're talking about how Guard and Reservists are being called up, but, you know, as this thing goes on and on, more people are called to duty, rotated through, you know, this thing is going to touch more and more people. I mean, I talk, almost every other person I talk to knows someone who served or is being called up or has been serving.
Mm-hmm.
And so it's rippling through the community, and I think it's important, irrespective of how you feel about the conflict, to send these people a consistent message that we in the, you know, American community, the fabric of American society, really care about them as individuals. And this has been a great way to do that. Last year, I'll tell you.
Would you let us know how people can contribute to that, how they can support that effort, the Uplink operation?
Oh, certainly. I mean, you can. I'll go back to the webpage, and that's Operation Uplink, and that's one word, common spelling, operationuplink.org. You can make a donation online, or you can simply you can just write at our office, which is 406 West 34th Street, Kansas City, Missouri, and that's 406 West 34th, Kansas City, Missouri. And the zip code is real easy, 64111. You know, it's just been it's been a tremendous effort. I mean, we have been very, very pleased with how the American public has responded.
Well, one of the things that we've seen over the last year or so, Ron, is that even the people who disagree with the administration's policies with regard to Iraq and with regard to fighting terrorism, even those who disagree with him are saying very vocally that we certainly support our troops. And that's what we've got to do, and that's what you guys are doing. And folks, I'd like to encourage you, if you really feel strongly about any of this, an organization like VFW that is reaching out, they're not just taking care of our past veterans. That's the reason why, Ron, I try to point out, you know, we've got past veterans that we need to honor, but we got current veterans we need to continue to serve.
Well, and there's a good point there, because, you know, the injuries that these young men and women are suffering, and some of them are horrendous injuries. And now they're beginning to face some of the same challenges that historically veterans have had to face in readjustment. And the public is seeing how difficult it has been and why it is a continual struggle to make sure that these people are taken care of both while they serve and if something happens to them after they leave.
One of the things I'd like to encourage the VFW to work on, Ron, and I'm sure you probably already are, but I'd like to encourage you to focus on the future, is one of the things we talked about earlier in the show, to get you and I, and that is this issue of making sure that, number one, that the reserves are not called up just because we don't want to keep a standing army as large as we need, and, you know, we need to, but when they are called up, that they are given the kind of support that they should be getting, whether just as if they were full-time military, you know, like the folks who are on active duty full-time.
Both the VFW and part of my new duties include the VFW Foundation.
Mm-hmm.
And especially in the foundation right now, we're looking at meaningful ways really to help these people. And I hear we're going to a break.
Yeah, we're going to have to wrap it up, Ron. I want to thank you for sharing some time with us on Veterans Day. Thank you for the work that you guys are doing. And folks, don't forget to check that out, vfw.org. Got to take a quick break. I'll be right back. Stay with me.
Okay.
Oh, oh.
Insperity presents the Small Business Advocate Show with Jim Blasingame. This is a copyrighted production of Small Business Network, Inc., intended for the private use of our audience. Except as otherwise provided by copyright law, all other copying, redistribution, or publication without prior written consent is prohibited. All rights reserved.